I'm Governor Bevin. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Alan. Great to be with you again.
And great to have you on with us today as well. And I know some successes to talk about recently. The Kentucky General Assembly, a special session, and they wrapped this session up earlier this month with passage of that bill that signed into law, actually, that creates some fixes for quasi-governmental agencies in the pension plan. I know something that you really worked hard on, Governor.
Well, it's something that needed to be done. I really wish this was the only thing that needed to be done, but it was certainly a very important step. It provides some options for our quasi-governmental organizations. These are 118 different organizations. They employ about 9,000 people, and they're scattered all over the Commonwealth. They include our regional universities. They include healthcare organizations, our kind of health departments in the counties, our rape crisis centers, our behavioral health centers. And they need some options to ensure that they can stay viable for their retirement plans and for their workers. And this is an ability for them to, between now and April of next year, figure one of three different paths forward, depending on what's best for them. So it's an important piece of legislation, and I tip my hat to those legislators who came to get the job done. Some came to play politics and try to make personal hay here. Others came to do what was best for our workers. And for those men and women who voted for this bill, I certainly am grateful, and I know that our workers are grateful.
Governor, actually, this is just another step in the long process to get the pensions system in Kentucky back to a good, stable place. Where do we go from here? What do we do next?
Again, it's going to be a function of seeing what these folks do come April when they have to make their decisions, these different organizations. And that will help us to then reassess the land. I think our legislators will be doing that even during this next budget session coming up in 2020. So at that time, we'll take a look at it and figure out which pieces of legislation we need to move forward with next. The most important thing is to make sure that the pension system doesn't fail. We need to make sure that we meet the obligation for our retirees. They've done what was asked of them. We, the state, need to do what's asked of us. But it's not as simple as just, oh, well, we'll do it. That's what previous governors and legislators have been promising, but without any ability to back it up financially. And so we have a system that's insolvent. We have a system that really is, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt or going bankrupt. And we're trying to slowly but surely put its legs back under it financially. And that's what we'll do. We'll continue to look for the best, least disruptive way to make sure we save the pension system.
Governor, had a chance to see you and your opponent discuss a number of issues at Kentucky Farm Bureau a couple of weeks ago at their forum. And among the things discussed there, budgeting priorities for the next term as governor. What are some things that, besides the pension, what are some things that you see as priorities for our budget?
We need to continue to look for ways to take care of state workers because, frankly, I've brought raises for law enforcement for the first time in decades, especially as it relates to the CLEF fund, KSP, Kentucky State Police, our social workers, our transportation workers, many of our folks that work in our prison system. Many of these people have gotten their first pay raises in 10, 15, 20 years even since I've been governor, but there are still others that haven't. And so I think we need to find ways to take care of the people that take care of us, the people who do the work of the Commonwealth, simply because it's a tough, competitive job market. Because we've done a good job with the economic attraction of folks to our economy here in Kentucky, we are now competing in the marketplace for good talent, and we need to pay more. So finding ways to be able to get the talent we need and be able to pay them accordingly, that's important. Modernizing our tax code, that's important. We've got to figure out that's going to affect the budget, of course. So we've got to find ways to be more competitive with states around us. That's absolutely critical. Infrastructure, we've got to find a way. Every single person listening that works in state government is perking up at the sound of this, but it's true. Every Democrat, every Republican, everywhere knows that we need more road funds to be able to do the projects that are necessary in Kentucky. So, these are some of the things. Modernizing our tax code, developing our infrastructure, looking for compensation for state workers, the education system. Without infrastructure and without education, you're never going to be able to keep pace or advance as a state or as a nation. So these are all things that are going to be focused on in 2020 and beyond.
Governor, I heard a presentation yesterday from Bridget Ramsey with the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence, and she said that they recently done a poll this year saying that 70% Kentuckians are in favor of more funding for education. How do we find that funding in the budget? How do we get the education funding that's needed there?
So again, the key is going to be to find the priority. What does that mean? More funding in education. Does that mean classroom material? Does it mean compensation for instructors? Does that mean more funding per pupil? Does that mean extending education to earlier ages or helping more with people after they graduate? What does that actually mean? The key would be to figure out what does more funding for education have the greatest ability to mean in terms of impacting people. One thing I've done since becoming governor is we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars into workforce development training, so post-secondary training, and also dual credit training while kids are still in high school. And so this is important because the whole purpose of public education is to prepare people for life in the real world, in the public world. And that's the reason that we invest these billions and billions of dollars into education. And so I think finding the smartest ways to help prepare young people to be ready to go as productive citizens into the working world is something that we will continue to work on.
Governor, there's been talk of maybe of expanded gaming in the state of Kentucky, also legalizing marijuana. If those two things happen, would it be enough funding there to help meet some of the needs out there, or what do you see out there?
They are just not even close. Anybody proposing those is either intentionally or unintentionally unaware of the math. Let's talk about the legalizing marijuana for a second. It's been estimated by people that are proponents of it that it could generate about $100 million a year. First of all, this state has never, prior to my election, ever been good about dedicating monies for things to the actual thing. I'm the only governor that never swept the lottery funds. 100% of the lottery money has gone into education since I've been governor. I'm the only governor that can say that in 30 years. Every other governor took the money and did other things with it at some point or another. Not all of it, but parts of it. 100% of it has gone to education since I've been governor. Same thing with the Quest Fund for law enforcement. Other governors, the previous governor took $117 million from law enforcement and spent it on other things. So I'm a big believer that if we tell the public we're going to spend your money on something, that's what we should do. But let's just assume that I'm phoned into the future by people who have that kind of responsibility and that everybody does take the pot smoking money and put it to pensions. If it's $100 million a year, and we currently owe, and it's conservatively, about $60 billion in unfunded liability, that means, Alan, that everybody in Kentucky would need to smoke pot for the next 600 years. And no one's allowed to retire in the next 600 years. We're not allowed to incur any more interest or any more liability. And then in 600 years of pot smoking, if we did indeed dedicate 100% of the money, then we would now have enough money to fund what we owe today in 2019. It's not a serious solution. It's not even a solution at all. It's a ridiculous proposal. And everybody knows that there are societal costs to this as well. Look at the state of Colorado. Look at the homelessness. Look at the increases in their emergency rooms. Look at the problems they have with law enforcement of bordering states. Look at the amount of disease and things that have spiked up as a result of people who are coming for the fact that they can smoke pot legally. Does that mean everybody who's involved in that has these problems? No, but many of them do. So we have negative things to counter as well. The same thing for gambling. I mean, I'm telling you, if we can pretend that there's no negative societal cost associated with casino gambling, but every night somewhere in America, somebody takes their life in a casino because they've wasted the last semblance of dignity and hope that they had. Families are ruined. Lives are ruined. There is societal cost. And there's no political appetite for this in America. There really isn't. And certainly in Kentucky, I should say, there's no political appetite. And the idea that we could make maybe $200 million a year with casino gambling taxes, well, that means billions are being spent that might well better be spent somewhere else. But let's say we really did have no negative and it was $200 million, we'd all have to gamble for 300 years. And if we all wanted to gamble and smoke pot at the same time, it would still be 200 years just to earn the money we already owe today. These are not serious solutions. The only way, Alan, that we can get out of this hole, the only way that we can solve this problem that we have is to have more people living in Kentucky paying taxes. That's it. And so we want as competitive a tax environment as possible, and we want this place to be high quality as possible from an infrastructure standpoint, an education standpoint, a quality of life standpoint, a low energy standpoint. If we can compete on these fronts, then we can attract more people to move here. And if the more people move here, and many of them are taxpayers, we will slowly but surely over the next decades work our way out of this problem. That is the only path forward that is a real idea. And it's not going to happen in one term or two terms or even three terms of any governor. You know, or four or however many governors follow me. It's going to take 50 to 20 years at least. So you're talking four consecutive terms of people having the same mindset. At the end of World War II, Indiana, Tennessee, and Kentucky had the same population. Now we're 4.5 million, and they're 6 to 7 million each. If we had 2 million more people, and we easily could, we would have 30, 40% of them paying taxes. That's the solution to our problems.
Governor, I know you're heading to Fancy Farm this weekend. I'm sure you're looking forward to an appearance there.
It's going to be fun. It really is. I enjoy elements of it. What is a shame is how unfamily-friendly it has become in recent years, because people have become just too personal and nasty. And it's a shame, because it's something that families should feel comfortable about bringing their kids to. And I know Mark Wilson and his team have done a good job of trying to, you know, encourage people, have some decency, have some civility. And we'll see. I hope that's what people bring. If they bring that mindset to Fancy Farm, it should be a good time. I mean, anytime you're serving up close to 10 tons of barbecue, yes, and playing bingo and having ice cream, and if the weather's not too hot and sweltering, it promises to be a good time. I'll be there with Absolutely. My family and look forward to it.
Sounds good, Governor. We'll see you on Saturday. Thank you, sir, for taking time to visit with us this morning.
Thank you. Take care, Alan.
Yes, sir. Governor Matt Bevin with us this morning.